We stand at the edge of an economic revolution. The 2008 financial crisis wasn't just another recession. It marked the beginning of neoliberalism's terminal decline. Despite unprecedented intervention, $12 trillion in quantitative easing, and near-zero interest rates, the recovery has been anemic. Meanwhile, information technology continues its revolutionary advance. This contradiction between rapidly advancing technological capabilities and a failing economic model suggests we're witnessing the birth of something new, post-capitalism. The collapse revealed the rot at the system's core. Emails between finance executives showed a culture of knowing deception. Lehman Brothers using emoticons when admitting illegal tactics. Standard & Poor's employees joking about retiring before their house of cards falters. Despite this, conditions for another crisis accumulate. Stagnant wages, a shadow banking system larger than before 2008, and global debt up by $57 trillion. In countries like Greece and Spain, youth unemployment has reached catastrophic levels, exceeding 50%, creating a lost generation without economic prospects. Yet, amid this dysfunction, smartphones have conquered the world, social media has exploded, and green technology has advanced dramatically. This technological revolution holds the key to understanding why neoliberalism is failing and what might replace it. Throughout history, capitalism has moved in long waves of approximately 50 years. Each wave brings revolutionary technological and social changes before hitting limits and crashing. Five distinct cycles emerged. 1790 to 1848, factory system, steam power, and canals. 1848 to 1890s, railways, telegraph, and machine production. 1890s-1945, heavy industry, electrical engineering, and mass production. 1940s to 2000, transistors, synthetic materials, and factory automation. 1990s-present, networks, mobile communications, and information goods. The fourth wave, 1948 to 2000, brought unprecedented prosperity through the post-war boom. This golden age was built on the Bretton Woods system, with fixed exchange rates and strict financial regulations. Banks had to hold 24 to 28% of loans in cash or bonds. The turning point came on October 17, 1973, when Arab oil-exporting countries imposed an embargo, quadrupling oil prices overnight. This sparked the first global recession since WW2 and introduced stagflation, a combination of economic stagnation and inflation. The rise of neoliberalism followed through leaders like Pinochet, Thatcher, and Reagan, who determined modern capitalism couldn't coexist with powerful organized labor. The fifth technological wave, centered on information, marks a fundamental shift from previous industrial revolutions. Modern jet engines illustrate this transformation. The GE90 engine on Boeing 777 generates over 500 gigabytes of data per flight, blurring the line between physical value and information content. Information products differ critically from physical goods. They can be used repeatedly at zero additional cost. This characteristic disrupts traditional economics, pushing toward monopolies despite infocapitalism's attempts to maintain control through intellectual property rights. The open source movement emerged as an alternative model. Linux now powers 97% of the world's fastest supercomputers, while Apache and MySQL dominate web infrastructure. Even profit-driven companies maintain open-source projects, showing how information-rich economies demand new ownership models. Yale scholar Yochai Bankler describes this as a new mode of production emerging in the most advanced economies. These forces are dissolving traditional intellectual property, giving rise to collaborative models like Wikipedia, where volunteers maintain 26 million pages driven by the belief that information should be free. The labor theory of value states that a commodity's worth derives from necessary labor hours invested. Information technology disrupts this with machines that have zero ongoing costs and infinite durability. Software, once created, runs perpetually without degradation. Manufacturing exemplifies this transformation. What required human judgment and accepted frequent defects in 1981 is now fully automated. Computer simulations direct laser-positioned machines while instant feedback catches errors. Infocapitalism faces a fundamental crisis when zero-cost products enter the equation. To survive, it would need artificial monopolies, complete data monetization, maintained resource scarcity, new service markets, and alternative employment for displaced workers. Three factors make this adaptation impossible. Information's zero-price dynamic affects all innovation. Automation threatens nearly half of U.S. jobs, and human activity resists total commodification. These contradictions make infocapitalism increasingly unsustainable. Since 1980, the global workforce has doubled to over 3 billion, becoming multicolored, majority female, and centered in the global South. Yet labor's power has declined dramatically, evidenced by falling union membership and decreased wage share of GDP. Work itself is losing centrality as information technology expels labor from production. The networked individual has become the archetype in cities worldwide. All the qualities observed in 1990s tech workers, mercurial behavior, spontaneous networking, multiple identities, and weak ties, now define young, economically active people globally. These characteristics manifest in gig economy workers, digital nomads, and creative professionals. Even Chinese factory workers have embraced this networked existence through smartphones and social media, using these tools to organize strikes and check working conditions across industries. These networked movements represent a new historical subject, not just the working class in a different form, but networked humanity itself. The networked lifestyle already exists, at odds with capitalist hierarchies, creating a clear appetite for radical economic change. This new consciousness manifests in alternative economic models, like platform cooperatives, peer-to-peer networks, and commons-based initiatives that directly challenge traditional corporate structures. Four key factors drove feudalism's collapse. Agricultural crisis and the Black Death's labor shortage, emerging banking networks, American conquest wealth, and the printing press's democratization of knowledge. Similarly, post-capitalism is emerging through information technology, our era's printing press, which erodes capitalism by enabling free information, collaborative production, and automation that challenges traditional wage labor. Unlike previous leftist thinking, post-capitalism can develop within the current system through existing elements: worker cooperatives, credit unions, peer production networks like Linux, and alternative currency economies. Three urgent crises may accelerate change: climate disruption requiring radical transformation, demographic aging threatening worker retiree ratios, and mass displacement from climate change and population growth, creating both necessity and opportunity for systemic transformation. The transition to post-capitalism rests on five principles: understanding complex systems limits, prioritizing ecological sustainability, recognizing the human dimension beyond economics, addressing problems holistically, and democratizing information while preventing monopolies. The state's role isn't to become the new economic driver, but to nurture emerging forms, similar to Wikipedia's approach, until they become self-sustaining. This begins with stopping neoliberal privatization and restructuring markets towards sustainable collaboration. A universal basic income would decouple work from wages, enabling shorter working hours. Automation must expand into sectors where cheap labor currently stifles innovation, particularly in industries clinging to outdated management models. The aim is to let technological advancements spread beyond computing into essential sectors like food, transportation, and healthcare, dramatically reducing labor costs and potentially solving humanity's fundamental economic challenge. we're already witnessing profound social transformations. If society can dismantle ancient gender hierarchies, why not transform a 200-year-old economic system? We have the opportunity for a managed transition beyond the free market and mandatory work, with networked, educated individuals leading the change.